Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that, stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday edition of Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, your host. No Brian Kelly this afternoon. He's off playing Superman, improving this network of stations in an undisclosed location. I do not believe I can share his location today. And Evan is close to the mic.
Just chilling.
I don't know if you're going to give us an update if you had Brian locked away or stowed somewhere.
Nah, man. Nah, it ain't like it. It ain't like that.
No, he's in an undisclosed location helping improve this network, and you're listening to my voice on a variety of stations across the state of Wisconsin through Civic Media. And those stations are Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM here in Madison, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side. You're also listening to my voice in Wausau, Wisconsin on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 FM, 1230 AM. That's WXCO. In Wisconsin Rapids, it's WFHR, locally grown radio. That's 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. And in Waukesha, Wisconsin, you're listening on the Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. If you want to join the show at any time, you can give us a call. Share your tangent, 844-967-2789. To kick off today's show, I am joined by Sean Fetaplace of Main Street Alliance, because there was a lot of news going on last week that I believe affects small Main Street businesses here in the state of Wisconsin, and that list of growing news and how it affects the state is just continued to grow in the last several days, even today. And so I'm really excited to be joined by Sean Fetaplace to talk about how the events in both Washington and here in Madison and in the Capitol with the Evers administration are affecting small businesses. So, Sean, how are you doing this afternoon?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and I want to thank you for joining me because I initially reached out with the passing and the signing of the Inflation Reduction Act, as well as the Biden administration's action on student loan forgiveness, to have you on at the end of last week. But unfortunately, the schedules didn't quite work out. And since then, we've had even more things. The Evers administration today addressing $90 million of American Rescue Plan funds to public education. So a lot to cover, a lot to see how it is affecting small businesses here in Wisconsin. And so I just wanted to start off first with the Inflation Reduction Act. It was kind of an reiteration of Build Back Better is what a lot in the Biden administration said, that they were still going with a core aspect of policies that they believe would not only address inflation, but also help pay down the deficit and debt and better the green economy and several other aspects. And so I'd love to hear kind of your first take on the Inflation Reduction Act being passed into law and how that's going to affect Main Street businesses here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and again, thanks for having me on. And for those who don't know, Main Street Alliance statewide, and we really work to see progress in things like healthcare, childcare, paid leave, capital access, tax fairness, and monopolies. And so we are very supportive of the Inflation Reduction Act. It really does four critical things. Number one is it makes really robust investments. It's the largest investment in green energy to address climate change in U.S. history. And so that's huge. You also have the extension of the Affordable Care Act subsidies. The American Rescue Plan made marketplace insurance more affordable. This would extend it by 3 years. And furthermore, you've got some really, negotiation of prescription drugs as well that is going to help bring down costs for folks, especially seniors. And so there's a lot of good on healthcare, a lot of good on climate. And then, it's paid for by asking large corporations to pay their fair share. So We would have preferred to have gotten the full Build Back Better package with paid leave, with childcare investments, but this is a big step in the right direction. We look forward to building off of it.
Yeah, it absolutely was a momentous bill. It was an effort that was a long time in the works, and I know the work that organizations like Main Street Alliance was pretty crucial in keeping a lot of those aspects that did make it through the final passage in there. And there is still work to be done. It's very similar to the student loan forgiveness action that was taken by the Biden administration last week, where it is not a end-all be-all solution to the problems that we are facing, but it is one more step to be able to make life and easier for Wisconsinites and Americans as a whole a little bit easier, but still work to be done. And so on that front, I know that there's a ton, like you just mentioned, both the expanding affordable health care and the child care subsidies and all of those things. Some of those things could be addressed here in the state of Wisconsin by the Evers proposal last week to return some of the unprecedented $5 billion surplus in the state coffers back to Wisconsinites and invest in things like a child care tax credit and expanding the homestead tax credit and a variety of other aspects of the tax code that could make it fairer for working families and return that $5 billion, at least $600 million annually through a working class tax cut that the Evers administration proposed last week. Could you share a little bit with where Main Street Alliance stands on that and what you believe can be done with the proposal the Evers administration put out last week, Sean?
Yeah, so I would say first off, the state legislature has been on vacation since March. Also we're off a lot during the beginning of the pandemic as well. And so it's really goes to show that, the governor is putting out this proposal because, frankly, we have $5 billion. By the time, the next legislature sits in January, we're likely to have closer to $6 billion that could be spent. And frankly, I think there's a really cynical calculation being done by the majority right now, where they say, Evers might not be governor in January, and so we're just going to wait so we can give a big tax cut to the very wealthy and large businesses. And there's people who need help now. There's people who need help now in the form of tax relief, in terms of childcare costs, in terms of helping address the impacts of inflation. And so, we support that measure, but there's also more investments that need to happen, specifically on child care at the state level. That's going to be something we're going to fight for. Not directly related to the proposal, but something else he put out is that they are giving another $15 million to diverse businesses that got announced yesterday. And, while the pandemic, we're not sort of in this endemic phase where rates are higher than they need to be, but we're not quite at the heights that we were. There's going to be a lot of hangover effect of the pandemic on small business. So there's going to be an ongoing need to continue to make those investments to help folks get through. So, we support the governor's measure, but we also know that the legislature needs to do its job and actually meet. And so we look forward to encouraging them to do that.
Yeah, that's one more great piece of news out yesterday, the $15 million investment into minority businesses that the Evers administration is doing. It's almost hard to keep up with all of the work that incumbent Governor Tony Evers is doing, in contrast to a Republican-led legislature that, like you mentioned, hasn't been in session since March. They wrapped up their legislative calendar for the year, despite being a full-time legislature, which the president of the state Senate, State Senator Chris Kapenga, said over the weekend. He referred to the legislature as a part-time body, which is incorrect. The state legislature here in Wisconsin is full-time. It is one of, I believe, only a dozen or so state legislatures around the country that is full-time, and it is really upsetting to see. Are you hearing from Main Street Alliance members and the businesses that are affiliated with the organization? I don't want to say upsetness, but is there a degree of unsatisfaction from some aspects of the state government that could be doing more? Because you see, if there was a partner in the legislature like if Evers had a Republican-led legislature that was actually working and interested in working with him, we could see more of these problems solved, I believe. But the legislature is sitting on their hands and really holding that $5 billion surplus for hostage. Do you hear your members talking about that, or is this something more kind of in the political realm and it's not necessarily something that small business owners around the state are aware of or even talking about?
I just have to say, if most people were working a full-time job told their boss that it's actually part-time, they'd probably be fired. And so I think that there's I thought that, you know, there's a bit of a gaslighting going on with Kabanga with his remarks on, I think that was upfront, about this being really a part-time legislature. And it also got a bit high and mighty saying that, you know, we don't meet near the election because we don't want you know, the electoral stuff to be impacting what's happening in the legislature. Well, they went out again in March. It wasn't like this month. And so that's not, it's a bunch of baloney. As far as like our members, they wish, I know that State Representative Francesca Hong, you know, we just had a really great get out the vote training with her yesterday to train up our members on how to reach out in a nonpartisan way, their customers and their staff to encourage them to vote in the fall. And I know she's personally very frustrated. She's expressed it many times that she wants to be doing the work. She wants to be in the legislature. There's many other ways that she's contributing to the community at the moment, but she really wants to be in committee. She wants to be voting on bills. She wants to be doing that job. And so, you know, she's an example. We actually have a couple other members who are being elected to the state assembly this fall. And there's a real sense of frustration, but instead of just sitting on their hands, they're really thinking, what can I do to make a difference? And so that's what we're going to be doing with them this fall.
Fantastic. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but I got Evan on the board helping me out with the broadcast, as well as joined by Sean Fetterplace of Main Street Alliance, talking small business support and organizing here in the state of Wisconsin, going through numerous headlines that have affected small businesses across the state in the recent weeks. And so we got a couple more aspects that I want to dive into, specifically around student loan forgiveness on the other side of this break, Sean. But are you able to stick around for one more segment? Hopefully we didn't lose Sean yet already, but folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and... Okay,
yes,
perfect.
I'd be around for the next segment.
Sorry. No worries. No worries, Sean. This is Dueling Tangents, talking to Sean Fetterplace of Main Street Alliance. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but I am joined here via the Zoom by Sean Fetterplace of Main Street Alliance, talking some of the Wisconsin headlines and how they affect Main Street businesses here in our state. And Sean, before we went to break, I teased a little bit. I wanted to dive into the other big federal announcement last week. The Biden administration announcing $10,000 of student loan forgiveness for most borrowers, up to $20,000 for some, all making less than $125,000 a year. And there's been a lot of, outcrying. There's been a conservative outcrying against the debt forgiveness, and it's kind of taken twofold. We hear some criticism from Republican officials or Republican operatives in the state that this is unfair, that it's not right for working Americans to pay for the student loans of a generation that just wants a free handout. And they sometimes ignore the, and again, I wouldn't call it a handout. That's their language. That is what they are referring to it as in those conservative and right-wing media ecosystems. But they completely ignore the aspect that at the height of the pandemic, when the first round of coronavirus relief stimulus was passed out, a large portion of it was passed out through PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program, to make sure that employers were keeping their employees on the payrolls throughout the pandemic to make sure that we didn't have even worse unemployment than we did. And And so those PPP loans were given out with the understanding that if they went to payroll and other operating costs, that they would be forgiven. And so we're hearing a lot of criticism from aspects of conservative media saying that this is unfair, but completely ignoring the PPP program. And I don't want to criticize the PPP program. I think it was a very good program. I believe it helped a lot of businesses across the state get through a very difficult time. And I know that there wasn't enough funding for the PPP because a lot of larger businesses scooped up those loans and got them before other small businesses were available to do so. And so that program wasn't perfect, but the forgiveness was an aspect of it. And I'd love to hear kind of your thoughts from where you stand with Main Street Alliance and what you believe kind of the criticism, I guess, between the student loan forgiveness and the PPP loan forgiveness.
So first off, I just want to say, PPP really had two versions. There was the version that was passed under the Trump administration, and then there was the version that was improved upon after Biden administration came in. And there was a lot more safeguards put in place in terms of making sure that small businesses and not Tom Brady were the ones benefiting from that program. So like I said, not perfect, but it also kept a lot of people in jobs that otherwise they would have lost had it not been for that program, which was so necessary at the time. I just want to comment on the fact that Robin Voss, who put out a statement, Speaker of the Assembly, that he did not support the student loan action, yet he received a $300,000 forgiven PPP loan. It's a bit hypocritical, honestly. And furthermore, there's been a movement of people for a long time working to get student loan forgiveness done. The Biden administration, our organization supported the measure. And to be very clear, so it's $10,000 for folks. It's $125,000 for individual, $250,000 for a couple. So, to be eligible for that. Furthermore, 60% of Americans who go to college do receive Pell Grants. So the actual amount is closer to 60% of the total population of folks who receive relief will receive $20,000 in relief, which includes my own family. My wife and I, we still are paying on student loans. My wife had a pretty significant chunk still due, and she received a Pell Grant. So we received relief, and that's going to allow us to potentially buy a house next year, be able to put down more roots here in Madison, invest those funds in different ways. I think for a lot of Americans, it's not even necessarily the money. It's the fact that having that debt changes behavior. People don't form families who maybe otherwise would have. People don't start businesses. And for our own members, it's a huge burden to both have that debt hanging over them while also still trying to run a profitable business. And so by reducing, the amount of student loan debt that people have, they may be more willing to take that risk and start a business or expand their business instead of working that job that you need just to be able to make the payments on their student loans. And so it's a really positive thing for entrepreneurs, and it's something that we deeply support and believe was the right thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe the entrepreneurship aspect alone is going to be a very interesting space to watch for everybody that is being freed from the burden of in many cases, predatory student loans. Like student loans that you've been paying off for years and still had almost as much as what you originally took out because of interest rates on those loans. And so it's going to be pretty transformative. I'm very excited to see how the Biden administration's action is going to affect the small business community and the entrepreneur community here in Madison and around the state, because I believe Wisconsin is really going to see, and Americans as a whole are going to really see a lot of relief from that action that was taken by the Biden administration last week addressing student loan. And again, just one more step, just like the Inflation Reduction Plan, or now Inflation Reduction Act, just one step in the long process of addressing these problems that we face as a state and a country. Sean Fetterplace of Main Street Alliance, real quick, we only got a minute here, but would be remiss if I didn't let you plug your organization and how listeners can go take action with you before we wrap up this segment.
a quick thing. If you have paid off your student loans during the pandemic, if it was as of March 20th, you can actually get a refund back of those funds. Just for folks to know that's possible, go to the financial aid website to find out more. MainStreetAlliance.org. If you're a small business owner and want to get involved with our efforts to make a more equitable economy that works for everyone, go to our website, sign up as a member, and take action today.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon, Sean. Really appreciate it. I'm going to have you back on real soon.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Sean. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but we're going to dive into some more Wisconsin headlines and take your calls, 844-967-2789. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, so sorry to disappoint, folks. But I got Evan on the board, you on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. You're listening to the program on Devil Radio 92.7 FM here in Madison. I'm broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side. You're also listening on a host of civic media stations around the state of Wisconsin. In Waukesha, Wisconsin, it's the Shaw 101 FM. In Wausau, Wisconsin, it's Bull Falls Radio 98.9 FM. And in Wisconsin Rapids, it's locally grown radio 97.5 FM. If you want to join the show, share your tangent with me, 844-967-2789. Always appreciate Sean Fetaplace of Main Street Alliance stopping by to give an update about how the headlines are affecting local Main Street businesses here in the state of Wisconsin, because it's very refreshing to have an organization advocating for those small businesses, not just claiming to advocate for small businesses, but really pushing Republican talking points at the statewide level while really neglecting a lot of Main Streets across the state in that process. So really appreciate Sean for joining me for that last half hour. If you want to learn more about what Main Street Alliance is up to, go follow them on all the social medias, check out their website, mainstreetalliance.org. And yeah, it's a great information, great resource. If you are a small business owner and want to learn more, you should get involved. Sean is the Wisconsin representative, or I believe regional representative now for the Midwest. So he's moving up as well, but does excellent work here in the state of Wisconsin and throughout the area with the Main Street Alliance. So thank you, Sean. I want to dive into some Wisconsin headlines. Evan, did you see this one? We get in a huge, right before school starts. Back to school is right about now. There are some schools already starting this week, I know, but back to school is what time it is. I'm a youngin'. I don't have any little ones at home. I'm an old man now.
I don't go to school.
Yeah. Well, I don't go to school either, but I don't know if I've ever asked you. You got any little ones, Evan?
No, sir.
Okay. Then I don't feel as terrible for like missing that one, because had I not known that you had a little one around.
Oh man,
this,
if I didn't,
really bad.
Like my dedication to the station would be indicative of like a serious, you know, lack of respect and accountability
for my
family.
It's the evening shift. You do the afternoons and evenings, so therefore you got all the time to spend at home with the little
one. I guess,
one.
Let's say it like that.
Yeah, that's how I would have pictured it. Come on. But yes, it's back to school time here in the state of Wisconsin and around the country, but right in time to really assist school districts that are suffering, because earlier this week we had a Wisconsin Public Radio story letting us know that there are going to be $1.9 billion in public school increases through referendum on the ballot this November. So local municipalities and areas are going to be asking voters to vote on whether or not they can increase their budgets.
Oh man, this has got to make them so mad. So mad.
It's been the only funding mechanism that local governments have been able to use to address the funding gaps that they have been forced to deal with because of a lack of investment in public education by the state government for more than 10 years now. Since the Walker administration came in and really just decided to put a thumb in the eye of public schools here in the state of Wisconsin. And that funding gap has not been addressed. And the Evers administration, and throughout his first term, has proposed budgets that would increase investments into our public schools. But we cannot simultaneously fund two separate school systems in the state of Wisconsin, which is what Republican legislators would like you to try. They want to undercut these systems because they know when they advocate for vouchers and expanding of private schools in the state that it is unsustainable.
They're mutually exclusive. You cannot have both.
Right. You cannot have two school systems. So Republicans want to privatize all of education. They wanted to expand vouchers to statewide. And it was very, very fortunate that Governor Tony Evers had the ability to veto that legislation. They also put insane proposals like breaking up MPS, Milwaukee Public Schools, the largest school district in the state, without an actual plan to replace MPS. They just want to break it up because Milwaukee is the boogeyman, and they want to be able to use it as a political punching bag. And so those proposals were vetoed by Governor Tony Evers, and now he's stepping up, and we'll get back a little bit to those kind of wackadoo proposals because they come back in this story here. But the action taken today by the Evers administration is directing $90 million of American Rescue Plans to Wisconsin public K-12 schools. And this piece written over by Scott Bauer, it's written in the Associated Press, but pulled over at the State Journal, Madison.com. And Scott Bauer writes, "The Governor Evers is giving Wisconsin K-12 public schools $90 million more in federal COVID-19 relief money, a move he announced Tuesday just before schools were to open for the fall. Evers, a Democrat up for re-election in November, said the money would help schools keep and retain teachers and ensure that the student-to-teacher ratio doesn't increase. Districts across the state, including the two largest in Milwaukee and Madison, have reported high numbers of unfilled teaching slots heading into the new year. Quote, the investments will go towards making sure our kids have the resources and support to get caught up and be successful both in and out of the classroom, Evers said in a statement.
I mean, the man has a decade of, you know, superintendent experience.
Thank you so much for mentioning that, Evan, because next year in the Bauer piece is an interesting quote from Evers' opponent this fall.
Yeah.
Connecticut businessman Tim Michaels, construction businessman that lives in Connecticut. I mean, works in Connecticut but lives in Wisconsin. I'm a little jumbled now.
In Connecticut.
Tim Michaels, Connecticut, Tim Michaels, same thing, I guess. I'm sorry. Tim Michaels, Evers' opponent for this fall, has a quote here in the Scott Bauer piece. And so, it's a spokeswoman for the Michaels campaign.
Okay.
Accused the former teacher, principal, school administrator, and state education secretary of handing out the money, quote, so he can pretend to care about education.
Wow. Wow. Talk about some low
I
effort
am
gruel.
So sorry, but that is just
that's
like
sad.
That's what you're grasping at?
Man, and he's still laying so low.
I read this one and I was a little shocked that is what the Tim Michaels campaign put out there. He is challenging a man who was a teacher, principal, school administrator, and the head of the Department for Public Instruction here in the state of Wisconsin.
10 years, yep.
Those that is the resume of Tony Evers.
In fact, he left that job to come to us.
To be the governor, yeah.
That's right.
He left being the DPI secretary to be governor. That was the role that he had most recently before stepping into the role as governor. And the fact that the statement is, quote, so he could pretend to care about education, I'm sorry, Tim. I feel like you really need to go check on that campaign staff of yours, because if that's the quotes that they're putting out and you're not approving them because you're off busy in Connecticut, I don't know what to say.
The sauce is weak.
That is not a leg to stand on, I don't believe. And let's point out to everybody, Scott Walker tried to do the same exact thing in 2018 when he was running for re-election and facing challenger Department of Public Instruction Secretary Tony Evers at the time. He tried to brand himself as the education governor, and it didn't work because the Walker administration gutted public instruction, the public education investment that was removed. It was lack of investment for 8 years under former Governor Scott Walker, I think is a huge reason why he lost in 2018 to DPI Secretary Tony Evers.
It was a huge deal. I wasn't even plugged in, you know, at that time.
Yeah, dude, Act 10 was huge, but it wasn't just Act 10. It was the gutting of the teachers' unions was the first step, but just the cutting off of state resources that the Republican-led government has been doing and continues to do. It started then under the Walker administration, but the Republican-led legislature is still doing it. They are not increasing investment to our public schools. And so to have the quote from the Michaels campaign so he be like, so that Evers can pretend to care about education is just wild.
It's just weak. Yeah. It feeds into that sort of Republican fever dream where nothing is real and nothing matters until it matters to me. You know, it's almost
the disdain that they have for their voters and just voters in general. They believe that so many people are just not paying attention that they can get away with saying whatever they want when it comes to campaign time. Yeah. They can act however they want. And in many cases, because of the gerrymandered maps that Wisconsin has, it's very possible for politicians in the state legislature to get away with that.
And where gerrymandering, I feel like, started as a way to sort of strong arm and manipulate elections on a more ground floor, now it's required for them to win. Their policies don't win. They need gerrymandering.
They haven't been able to win majorities. Again, the number that's been put out there since Donald Trump won in 2016, all of the statewide elections from 27 on, Republicans have won 1 out of 12. And Republicans don't like that winner in a lot of instances. The one Republican that won statewide elections since 2017, Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Brian Hagedorn, who conservatives love to rip on when he actually does judicial independence and is a practical juror for what he says that he ran on. He's a conservative justice, but he is not a lackey of the Republican line, towing the party line on the state Supreme Court. He is independent, and he weighs each case that comes before him as it comes before him. And Republicans hate that. And that's the only statewide election that Republicans have been able to win since 2017. And so they go out and they say these insane lines saying that the teacher, principal, school administrator, and leader of public instruction in the state doesn't care about education or is only doing this move to make it seem like he cares about education. But the headline is the $90 million that Governor Tony Evers is taking for additional American Rescue Plan's funds and investing them into the K-12 public schools ahead of this upcoming school year. Because, again, like Sean and I discussed, Sean of Main Street Alliance, Sean Fetterplace, Main Street Alliance, discussed $5 billion being held hostage right now by the Republican-led legislature. They are sitting on those funds, gambling, hoping that they can get a Republican in the governor's office next year to try to cut those taxes and send that $5 billion to their campaign contributors.
And what it could do, you know?
What it could do.
What it could do.
And so the Evers administration is taking the steps that he has the authority over, and he's acting with the resources that he has. The federal government gave governors unilateral authority to send American Rescue Plan funds to where they believe they need it. And so these American Rescue Plan funds are coming to public school districts and independent charter schools on a per student basis. It will amount to nearly $100 in funding per student, the governor's office said today. The bulk of the money, and this is again reading from the Scott Bauer piece originally in the Associated Press, I'm reading it from Madison.com, is about $75 million will be directed towards hiring more staff and addressing other issues caused by rising costs and national inflation is what the Bauer piece says, but it is global. It's worldwide. Global. It's international inflation. Evers' office has said the remaining $15 million will be directed towards mental health services. The money is on top of $100 million in federal pandemic relief funds that Evers gave to public schools in 2021. So in total, $200 million of pandemic relief invested in our public schools that Republicans are just continuing to starve, not increasing the investment, just leaving it to, rather than addressing the problems that we have, like the piece alluded to, Milwaukee and Madison, huge teacher shortages. We're seeing staffing shortages in our public schools and being able to use resources when we're sitting at a $5 billion surplus, folks.
That's a big number. That's more than just schools. I mean, that could do so much.
Transformative. And rather than it going to corporate donors to any of the political parties. It should go to the working class. It should go to school districts. It should go to infrastructure. It could go to solving so many problems. But that $5 billion is off limits right now because the GOP legislature refuses to act on it. So the Evers administration announcing today an additional $90 million of American Rescue Plan funds going towards K-12 schools just before schools open again. So that is the headline. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to share your tangent, we got one more segment left in the show. 844-967-2789. We're going to get into some more Wisconsin headlines and your calls. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon. He's off being Superman and proving this network of signals that you're hearing my voice on right now. Here in Madison, Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Waukesha, the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. In Wausau, Wisconsin, it is Bull Falls Radio 98.9 FM, WXCO 1230 AM. And in Wisconsin Rapids, we are broadcasting live on locally grown radio. That's 97.5 WFHR 1320 AM. If you want to join the show, you can at any time text or call 844-967-2789. And we're talking about a variety of different Wisconsin headlines with the announcement earlier today from the Evers administration investing $90 million in K-12 public schools ahead of the upcoming upcoming school year, 2022-2023 school year. Which is getting started in some places right now, but throughout the next week, between now and next Tuesday, coming back from the Labor Day holiday, I know there's a lot of schools getting started around the state. And so that $90 million is going to be transformative. It's going to help districts retain staff, recruit staff, and also $15 million slotted for mental health services for students across the state, because that is still a huge aspect. The combination of, for the most part, it's not hybrid learning anymore. It's all back in person. These districts are going back to school, learning in the classrooms, and the last 2.5 years has been tough for everyone, and students included. And to have the resources to be able to direct $15 million to public health for our K-12 public school students as well is crucial, and I'm glad to see that that is slotted into the Evers announcement from earlier today. But moving on to kind of a separate headline, but still an kind of a head scratcher one, because you read these stories like this, and you're kind of like, well, why aren't you getting to the bigger point? Because I believe headlines like the one I want to jump into now should ask bigger questions. We should be getting more information onto, and in some cases that information isn't available, and I understand that. But as readers and digesters of the news, when you see headlines like this, it should make you kind of think and be like, well, that's kind of strange, and the framing is interesting, but why aren't you following up on this way? And so I want to get to the headline over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This is written up by Daniel Bice. Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes had 10 times more hours of security than his predecessor. So when you first see this piece, you kind of start to read that headline and you're like, okay, well, you're making it sound like he either requested it or for whatever reason, it's a bad thing that he needs 10 times more security. And I'm not denying that. I think it's pretty insane that the first black lieutenant governor that the state of Wisconsin had, second only statewide elected black individual to a statewide position here in Wisconsin, is interesting. And so this is not the first time that this story has been talked about. At the beginning of the term for Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, there was a write-up on this story about how his security detail was more expensive and more costly than his predecessors.
Why do you think that might be? Let's take a moment. Think about why this might be important.
Isn't it, Evan?
Man. Oh, man.
So I want to read into the piece by Daniel Bice at the Journal Sentinel. If Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is elected to the U.S. Senate, he's in for a big change in security and transportation. Unless they hold one of five leadership positions, senators don't automatically get police officer protection and drivers, as lieutenant governors in Wisconsin have from the state patrol since 2011. Barnes is a Democrat running against Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. In his first 3 years, as the state's number two, Barnes has averaged more than 13.5 hours of security protection a day, including weekdays, weekends, and holidays, at a daily cost to the state of $660 for patrol officers' wages. That's more than 10 times the number of hours as his predecessor. Johnson officials were highly critical of these security costs, labeling them excessive. But Barnes staffers say all decisions about his security detail are made by the state patrol, not the lieutenant governor or his staff. Nationally, security costs have gone up as the number of threats against public officials has increased. In Wisconsin, former Juneau County Circuit Court Judge John Raymer was killed in a targeted shooting earlier this year. Governor Tony Evers' name was on a hit list kept by the shooter.
I forgot about that. Yeah, oh, man.
Wild the things that you forget about with all of the headlines going around. The campaign for Barnes, the first black lieutenant governor, declined to say whether he received threats, referring the question to state officials to answer. State security officials said they do not detail threats to public officials. So the public doesn't get to hear about all the threats. The reason why? Because it is not the Mandela Barnes team that is deciding his security detail. It is the State Patrol. And the State Patrol does not comment on security threats for assessing why security is given to the governor, lieutenant governor, or public officials in general. And so for the Ron Johnson campaign to make this an excessive request by the lieutenant governor.
Stretch. I mean, you can sort of tell the sauce is getting weak.
I guess I didn't even think of it in the same vein as the Michaels stretch earlier.
I sort of do. I mean,
I don't disagree. I just didn't make the two separate tangents. I didn't see how the tangents were connected, but you just connected them for me, Evan. And it is. It does seem like a stretch. And to make hay over this, something that is apparently out of the lieutenant governor's control, I don't know how it doesn't spark the question, though, why is there a circumstance that the lieutenant governor needs that much protection?
Yeah, yeah. Why is that not necessary?
How is that not your first follow-up question? If you are a consumer of news and you are seeing this headline, the Ron Johnson campaign would love for you to believe, oh, well, that's a waste of tax. 10 times his predecessor? That is a waste of taxpayer dollars. Doing some quick math, Scott Bauer was the previous reporter. The Daniel Bice piece notes that the annual cost, roughly, for the security detail is what he says a whopping $608,528 for the 14,370 hours of work. Oh, excuse me, that wasn't even annual. That was over the first 3 years of this, to this point in the term.
Okay,
so that was over 3 years.
Still a lot of money, but hey.
But hang on. So 3 years of security detail protection for the lieutenant governor that didn't request it, but received it at the recommendation of the state patrol, who is deciding, assessing threats and deciding security need costs.
That is key.
Half of what Republicans just lit on fire with the Michael Gableman review, because
yes,
I refuse to use that I word. So I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If you've got a problem with the need to protect the lieutenant governor because threats are being made and State Patrol doesn't comment on those threats, but you are silent on lighting more than double that money that was spent over the last 14 months with Michael Gableman's charade, shame on you. Folks, this has been Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but I hear maybe he'll be back from his undisclosed location tomorrow. Who knows? You'll have to tune in at 2 p.m. to find out. Talk to you then.